it was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV. Deep at reef, watching tension repeats, eating bakery feeds at 18, living the dream with no sunscreen. Yeah, we were so keen, surfing Aussie pipe, buying Riptide.
Right, g'day and welcome to the Riptide Bodyboarding Podcast, the home of bodyboarding. Thank you for joining us on episode 87 of our verbal journaling, and I'm your host, Luke O'Connor. Well, today's guest is bodyboarding royalty as of this year. Earlier on in 2024, our guest today secured the junior female world title, best of two comps that I really want to get into a little bit later on in the podcast, the nitty-gritty of how she achieved this illustrious title. She's also comes from a very strong bloodline in the bodyboarding ranks, especially on the Brazilian side, with her mother being a five-time world champion in Neymar Carvalho. And yeah, I've obviously already given it away as to who she is, but I'm really stoked to have Luna Hardman giving up her time and coming on the podcast today. Luna, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction and thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure, and yeah.
No dramas at all, Luna. Thank you so much again for taking the time today. I know you're extremely busy, and I know, you know, we've been trying to link this up for the last couple of weeks, and especially with different time zones, and you know, you're having a lot of professional commitments on your plate with the IBC World Tour, and appeasing your sponsors with all your up and coming trips and travel plans. And I know you're currently in a different location to when we last spoke. Could you give the listeners at home a bit of a rundown on what you're up to and what you're doing?
Yeah, now I'm in Gran Canaria in Spain to run the European Tour here in La Bit of La Sisi. And I'm super stoked to be here this morning. We surfed from Tom. It was my first time there. It was a pretty fun session. It's small, but really nice to understand the peak and all the power of the wave that everybody calls the best wave in the world for bodyboarding. So, yeah, it's been really special this year. I've been traveling a lot and get to know a lot of good and nice places. So I'm super stoked.
So do you feel like this year's been a bit of a breakthrough year for you? Like, obviously you've won a junior world title, which is, you only get so many bites of the cherry of that, and it's not like a you know, open or adult world title, so to speak, because you can kind of come back year in, year out after that, trying to achieve that goal. But with a junior world title, you know, it's quite a unique and prestigious title, because you only get, as I said, so many bites at the cherry. So what's it been like, you know, walking around with that title across your belt, so to speak?
Yeah, it's amazing. I work a lot for it. Like, the first year that I had the Woman Junior Tour, I was the champion, was in 2022. And then was like a unique title. The first one was very special. And then the next year, I couldn't define my champion. And Araya Tabauno from Hawaii beats me. She was killing that year. And then this year, I could make it again. And it's been amazing doing the junior and the woman division both in the same time. I think I'm getting a lot of experience with this. And yeah, traveling the IBC World Tour is so nice. I meet a lot of nice people, nice waves. It's really fun.
So cool to hear that, man. So glad you're having such a positive experience out there competing for a world title, because, you know, I know it can be the flip of the coin on the other side of the coin, sorry, like of how, you know, tough and how many grueling kind of situations potential world title holders or place getters can kind of have during their years. So to hear you having such a positive time obviously reflects the experiences you're having, but also the the attitude and personality you must be putting towards it. You sound like a very positive person and you're a happy-go-lucky individual.
Yeah.
So I'm slowly just forgetting about the losses and the bad times and just focusing on all the good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's way more easy live like this and not being arguing about all the things. And actually, I've been dreaming this since I was a little kid, seeing my mom travel the world for bodyboarding. So, yeah, I have nothing to do bad about this. I'm super happy to being now in this life with her. Actually, we travel together for all this amazing places with amazing waves. So it's pretty nice.
So what was it like at the start of the year, you know, going to, you said there was a Brazilian leg and a Chilean leg for your world title defense or your world title this year, you know, knowing you won in 2022, but having that hiatus in 2023, you had Brazil and then Antofagasta in Chile. What were those competitions like and what was the intensity like at both those competitions?
Yeah, the first one in Brazil, it's the best comp of the year for me. My mom organizes in our place in Brazil, and it's a comp just for women. So it's like a meeting of all generations, the masters, the young ones. So it's super cool to be there. And in the same time, I really enjoy the wave. It's a easy wave, I can say like this. It's like not power as Antofagasta or other waves in the tour, but it's really soft and nice to do curves. So I went there and was actually my best comp ever of my life because I won the junior division in front all my friends and family. My grandparents was there, who I love the most, and my sponsors was there, and then I won this comp in junior division and get second in women division, made the final against Sadio Hara, and was super nice. It was incredible. And then we went to Antofagasta in Chile. It was crazy, actually. In Wahine, in Brazil, the girl who gets second behind me was Luana Dourado, and in Antofagasta I get second behind her, and then we were with the same points. So to see who could be the world champion, we needed to do a super heat, me against her. And in the day of the super heat, I was like, yeah, exciting for the super heat, but I was also competing in the women division. And early that day in the morning, I was in my heat and I hit my head on the rock and really hurt. And then I need to go to the doctor, made a stitch, and was a really concerned moment. Everybody was like, oh my god, how she will do the super heat. And the organization said to me, oh, we can reschedule if you want. They were super sweet. But I said, no, I think a lot about it. And then in the end, I decided to do in the same way, the super heat, and was the best decision ever, because I went to the water in the super heat and I was with extra energy and motivating. It was really painful, my head with the stitch and all, but I was like, ah, that's okay, I'm already here, I'm here to win. And then I could win this title, and it was super nice. And in the heat that I cut my head, I could pass through because before the accident, I made it a good scores. So I passed through the quarterfinals. And in the quarterfinals, in the end of this day, after I won my world title, I was against my mom in the heat. It was the first time that we were in a woman-to-woman heat in the IBC, and it was super nice. And I beat her, so it was the best day ever.
What was it like at the dinner table that night?
Was like, yeah, now you need to wash the dishes, I said to her.
That is so classic. So you guys have a really good rivalry build up between each other. Like obviously, you know, there's a solid age gap there, but at the same time, you know.
No, yeah, we are actually really different. Like about we are the same person sometimes, but about bodyboarding and the ways to concentration and competing, we are really different person. So we travel together, but each one has her own space, you know? So we do our things and not depending off each other, because she used to say that in the competition, she's not my mom, she's my opponent. So I don't see her as a mom in that moment. But when we are like together in the dinner table or something, we are best friends ever. Like we had a really good relationship. So I think this becomes easier to travel with her.
Yeah, wow. It's almost like the yin and the yang, like opposites attract, and you can kind of enjoy each other's space, but then also respect each other's differences, which is really cool. You know, just talking about that,
Yeah.
Luna, how do you prepare for a comp, and what kind of processes do you put in place, you know, leading into the comp or on competition day to make sure you're performing at your peak?
Yeah, in the competition time, I really enjoy to do a routine. Like depending of the place, have some places that we need to take car and go and stay the whole day. So it's different. But in the almost all the comps, we stay close to the beach. So I really like to wake up early, do my yoga, my meditation. And then after this relaxed moment, I'm the person who needs to be really like in a head boost state, you know? Like really, yeah, let's go play loud music and all this to get really motivated to go to the comp. And I don't like to be a lot in the beach. In the comp, like talking with people, I like to be in my one little world. But yeah, and then I think this works for me. And about the routine, I need to do the same every day, because if I do a little thing different, I was like, oh no, that was different. I lost. That was because I lost. And then I freak out a little bit. But yeah, it's
So
good.
you're really methodical with your approach, and you like to do things on repeat, like in the morning. Obviously, there's varying types of yoga,
Yes.
all the stretches you can do. But what sort of meditation or breath work do you really get into? Do you follow a certain practice or a certain practitioner?
Yeah, I have a teacher in Brazil of yoga and meditation, and we used to talk like when I'm in the comp, and yeah, we do a lot of exercises to make me less anxious and really relax about it. And I think this has been my best year about it, because I used to be really anxious about competition and sometimes this really like gets to the wrong way, you know? And then this year, I really started do meditation and these things stronger. And I felt that I was really better in this state. I feel really more comfortable and dealing with my emotions really way better, you know.
Does your practitioner, your mentor, give you a mantra as such to continually repeat during your meditation?
Sorry? Can you repeat
it? Does your teacher give you a mantra, like a expression or a sentence or a set of words to keep repeating during your meditation to keep your mind on track, or is it more just focused on your breath, the in and the out?
Yeah, it's more focused on my breath for the concentration. But I have mantras that my psychologist passed to me. I have a good, like, team in my back for doing this, like psychologist, neutrologist. It's really good. It's really important to me.
No, you definitely seem like you're a spiritually charged person. So it's always cool to hear the insights from athletes when they're looking to perfect their game, and not so much just in a physical way, but to be mentally prepared for competition. I find it fascinating to hear the insights and to hear how everyone goes about it. You know, listening to loud music, like I know a lot of people really enjoy that, or I know people like, you know, having a certain playlist they have to have on at certain times, or a certain genre of music, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. Are you superstitious in any ways? Like, is there anything that you must or you mustn't do before a call or during?
Yeah, always the routine. Like, sometimes if I'm doing really well, like in Morocco early this year, and the competition that I was doing really good, I'll eat every day the same thing in the breakfast before the comp. If I didn't eat it, I was like, oh no, this is bad. And then I get second. It was my first podium in the was my first final, actually, in professional division. So, yeah, I think worth it.
Yeah, wow, definitely worth it. Yeah, so Morocco at the start of the year was your first podium finish, and how did you enjoy that competition? Because it looks like such a quality wave when it's on, but is it trickier to navigate when it's a little bit smaller and softer?
Yeah, it's actually a really tricky wave. I felt like in the first days that I surfed there, was tough to understand the peak and a lot of people, like when there's no comp, a lot of locals, and we can't surf really good. But then when the comp started, actually it started at another peak first and then went to the main peak with the swell shows up, and this peak is amazing. I think maybe it was my favorite wave from the tour so far, because it's a really good ride and really long with sessions, and yeah, I could show my best surf there, and I was like with no pressure. It was my first year competing the entire tour of the woman division, not the junior. So I was just enjoying and was the best. And I was never, I would never could imagine this, actually, because I just went to okay, one more comp. Obviously, you always had to do, to want to do your best, but yeah, it was something unexpectable, but it was really nice.
Yeah, definitely. Second place finish is amazing. What's the culture like and the vibe over in Morocco. Was it your first time? Have you been there before? And what did you think of the place?
Yeah, it was my first time and it was super nice. I didn't expect that Morocco could be so fun. Like the people were really nice and the place, the culture, it's insane. And the beauty of the place is different as everything. Like I can't describe it. A lot of good rides. Everybody really happy and enjoying the place. Was a good time there, and it was my first time. So every time when I went to a place in the first time, I'd be like, oh my god, look at this, oh it's amazing. And then when you are used to go more times, it's more okay. But as a first time, was a really good impression.
Yeah, the first time's always the most special, isn't it? Because you haven't had that, yeah, that involvement with the area, the people, or the, even just the weather patterns and how the days kind of start and end. It's always so new, and it's almost like, being in like a candy store. But then when you do go back time and time again, like, where's somewhere in the world that you've visited, you know, time and time again, and you're starting to get a little bit over? Do you ever have any locations like that with your free surf, you know, competitive bodyboarding?
No, in free surf, no. But in competing, I think Chile. I is the place that I went the most. So I think I'm okay. But the wave is really fun. So it's always good to be there. But it's one place that, yeah, it's okay. It's good, but I'm not that excited to like, oh my god, this place, you know?
For sure, for sure. And you would have gone to Chile a fair bit too, because it is like the closest to your hometown.
In Chile?
Yeah, as in like, because it's on the South American continent and like it's the easiest to travel to, kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what would the flight be from home to Chile?
It's direct. We go to São Paulo, that is the state of Brazil close to my home, and then my home, Espírito Santo.
What is it again, sorry?
Espírito Santo.
Espírito Santo.
Yeah, it's between Rio de Janeiro and Bahia.
Yeah, wow. And what kind of waves do you have there?
We have a lot of good slabs. And a lot of good beach breaks too. Have one of the best barrels beach breaks in Brazil called Regência. And this wave, Jacaraípe, the one that Wahine contest goes, which is more longboard wave, but good for bodyboarding to do 360 and reverse and, you know, feel the wave. And we really have a good diversity of waves. So this make this place really special. And it's not like Rio de Janeiro. It's, we used to say that is a small Rio because have a lot of good waves, good weather, good people, but not a lot of tourism and not a lot of crowd. So it's such a good place.
That's epic. Yeah, well, maybe we should stop mentioning it and keep it on the lowdown then, hey?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, you know, in your hometown, is bodyboarding or surfing more prevalent?
Bodyboarding. And I think because of my mom too. Like she pushed the sport really, really good there, and have a lot of people who goes there to training. Actually, the world champion, the 2024 world champion woman, Maíra Viana, she's from Rio de Janeiro, but she went to Espírito Santo, I think, more than 10 years to training there. to competing, and now she's kind of capixaba, that we call the people who race there in Espírito Santo. So it's a really good spot that made really good athletes in bodyboarding.
Wow, so you feel like her winning a world title this year has been contributed to by her presence there in your hometown and going there on obviously training camps and making sure that she's tackling all the different types of waves that your hometown has to offer.
Yeah, but not too about this too. She's a person really like right in training, and she's really dedicated. So I think this led her to this biggest spot, because yeah, you can be in all the places in the world, but if you don't have the dedication that you must have to be a world champion or a good athlete, no matter like what wave you have and this stuff. But I think she went to Espírito Santo to training with the good trainers, the good coaches that have there, and this is for sure helped her a lot to be in this position today.
What do you put it down for your world titles in regards to what made you get over the line compared to the other females competing there for the 2 times junior world championships that you've claimed? What's been the difference with your training, your preparation, and your mindset?
I think last year I was fighting for the title too, but I was too under pressure and I couldn't deal good with this. Like, I was the world champion of the 2022, and then in the 2023, when I had this opportunity to fight again, I was like too much. Everybody saying like, "Oh, this is the world champion. She will do it again or not?" Nah, nah, nah. And I let this consume me, and was not good. And I kind of reset for this year. I was like, I don't need this pressure anymore. I know that people will talk, and I need to deal with this if I really want to be a professional athlete. So I went to the psychologist, I talk about it, and yeah, that makes me send a lot of my mindset of competition and all these things. And I think this was the key of this year.
Yeah, wow, that's a really cool insight. Do you look at Instagram comments or social media comments in any way, shape, or form? Do you try and stay away from those platforms, or do you see the news that comes up about you and do you read into it?
Yeah, I read all, because have a lot of good things also. Like, have a lot of good people saying really nice things to me, but I always have that one that is not that good. But that's okay. I think I'm used to be under this media because of my mom. Like, since I was really, really young, the people in Brazil, the media, they are always saying like, "Oh, you will be like your mom, nah, you will be the next one." And I always was like, "No, I don't want to be like my mom. Like, she's for sure inspiration, but I want to ride my own way and see what I can do, but not be in her shadow." So this she always talk about with me, and she always like prepare me to this stuff that she knew I will need to pass through. So this is actually don't affect me. It's okay.
That's it's a good way to be, to definitely not let those comments affect you, because anyone can say anything online. It's a free fall, isn't it? They can sit behind a keyboard and throw taunts and disrespect out as much as they like, because they know they're not going to really get the repercussions of like they would saying in person. But it's really good that you've got a strong willed personality to be able to push that aside and not deal with that. And social media is a big part of so many professional athletes' careers these days. So it's good to hear how everyone's handling it. But moving on to the female side of the sport, Luna, throughout like your time graduating and climbing the ranks of professional female bodyboarding, have you at any stage run into any sexism or sexualized comments or just some unnerving kind of activity that was more gender based and made you feel uncomfortable?
Online, I think not. I can't remember right now, but if I went to this, I will remember. So the answer is no. But in person, I always had this thing about woman and man, and like I'm really used to so many times be the only girl in the peak. So sometimes it's not really comfortable, but yeah, the boys are really kind with me, all that I'm in a peak with just my friends and the people that I know. But in trips that we don't know people, it's always kind of you see some starings, and some people makes you feel uncomfortable, and even more being a bodyboarder, that is like women and bodyboarding. So I always pass to some things of this, but don't affect me as much that I can remember one specific moment too, because I really don't care, just let it go, and I will continue doing my waves in the same way, so that's okay.
Yeah, cool. Nice insight. Just thinking too, like when was the last time that you had a run in the surf, or like whilst in the lineup? Have you ever had a moment where there's been some disagreement, or there's been some tension over a wave or a priority situation or anything like that? Like what's the most uncomfortable you've been in the water?
I think maybe I don't know how to say, but when people went to our wave, you know? Snake? No.
Oh,
But yeah.
when someone's like, say you're in
Drop
the
it.
line,
Drop it. Yeah.
and then they kind of come in behind you and take your position, and then they snake you.
Yes. This always happening. Now I was in Bali this last few months, and like every time that I see that it's a girl, or like, oh, she will not pass through, or she's not going to take this one, and they went, and I'm like, okay. And you need to I need to remember my meditation in the morning, and be patient and calm, and but I always have this when we surf in places with a lot of people too. It's not just to me. So it's okay, but I think people should be more, kind with girls and with everybody actually, because everybody is there to do the same thing and just to enjoy the moment, not to be with tension or something.
Yeah, definitely. We all are just catching waves, and it's supposed to be a joyful leisure activity. It's not supposed to be something that's taken so seriously, unless you are a competition, and that obviously flips things. But you know, 95% of the time you'd just be surfing and booging for the love of it and the enjoyment and the way it makes you feel and the chemicals that release in your body. It shouldn't be so tense and aggressive all the time. I totally agree. But moving on to your equipment, Luna, what are you riding at the moment and what sponsors are you holding?
Now I'm riding to Busy Pro Bodyboarder and I'm super excited with it. This is my first international contract and I take these boards maybe 1 month ago in Indonesia when I was there, and I'm still adapting me with them, but it's amazing. I always like see the old generation with these boards and I always look to them and see how beautiful they were, because I really enjoy to surf what I like. It's like a food. Like I like to eat the pretty food, a beautiful food, you know? And it's the same with my boards. I like to ride beautiful boards because it makes me feel, more beautiful too. And then I always had this feeling with Busy, but I never dreamed about it. Just, it's a really cool board. And then this year I made it with them and, closed my first international contract. And now I'm with this brand, this iconic bodyboarding brand. And it's so nice to see, like, when I announce, I receive so many messages of old people, not old, but, like, people from the busy times saying, oh, it was my first board, or, like, oh, when we come to Brazil, I want to win Busy again. And I was like, oh my God, so much love about this brand. So I feel really, really grateful to represent a brand that people really like it, you know?
Definitely. It's definitely one of the most well-liked board brands going out, and it stood the test of time for a long period. I always had the fondest memories of Jeff Hub on a BZ bodyboard and all the graphics in the bottom of it, and I would always look at his boards and just think they were the craziest and coolest crafts out there. So, huge, huge respect to BZ and a huge respect to that contract you've got going with them, because I can only see it, harboring positive outcomes there, Luna. That's going to be a really cool ride you're going to hop onto. But what specs do you run on your board? Like, do you go for a crescent bat tail? Are you looking for quad or slot channels? Are you, mesh, no mesh? What can we find in your boards?
Yeah, this board that I take now for the first time, it's each one is different of the other. You know, I ask for really different types to see what I like most, because actually I don't know too much about boards. I'm learning, and this will help me a lot, because it's like my mom. I see by her, she take a board in her hands for the first time. She already knows the board, it's bad or it's good, or which kind of wave the board will fit. And I see like, what? How do you know this? So I'm looking for it to know and understand my boards and what I like, actually. And then this first, I take four boards, and one it's a little bit bigger, one is a little bit wide, one have bad tail, regular tail, and they're really different. And I'm enjoying the most now with the bad tail. It's really good. And
why do you like the bad tail so much, Luna? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I don't know. This is the point. Like, I don't know too much about it. I just I'm enjoying this one. I have a lot of speed with this, and it makes me like really, when I want to do a move, I could do really fast to hollow waves. It's easier. But I really like regular tail too. I really like all. So I'm seeing, and I have a notebook that I write all about, like, I think this one will be good to this type of wave and this one of this type of wave. And sometimes I'm wrong, but I'm learning it, and I'm happy to be with them because I think I will grow a lot with these boards.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think back to your point about the bat tail. I'm a bat tail myself, and I know a lot of the listeners out there will know this already because I've harped on about the last at least 18 months about how much I've enjoyed hopping back on one after such a long time off them. And yeah, the speed is such a big asset to that type of board design. It's crazy to see how much quicker you can go. Get you out of situations that you would usually find quite tricky, or maybe, not making the wave, where that bat tail just seems to boost you out of those kind of non-make barrels, or gives you that extra foot or two of speed to kind of get past the shocky. And yeah, I really like them. And once you can kind of harness the looseness of them, as you said, you can do your moves so quickly, and you can whip around like reverse and forwards were way easier. Like air reverses become easier because when you smack back off the lip, that tail releases so quickly and naturally just brings you around in a 360 motion. Like it's, yeah, I'm super into them. I don't know if I'm going to go back. I think I'm bat tail for life now.
Yeah, and it's really good because also you have more spaces for back in the maneuvers, like in the back flips or areases. You can land it, and you have more space to land it correctly. I'm really enjoying.
You there, Luna?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I thought I lost you for a second and my heart dropped. Yeah, that's sometimes with these long distance calls, occasionally they drop out, but touch wood, we're all good. But yeah, those bat tails, man, I could go on about them for days, and that's so cool. And I guess it'll be interesting to see how you go in the coming years with them. Like, is it something you compete on now? As a standard, like the bat tail comes everywhere you go, kind of thing.
No, actually, no. It's not my first time riding bat tail, but it's the first time that I'm understanding about, because I used to ride to a Brazilian brand in like my first years, and I had bat tail and crescent tail and all, but I was just riding and starting to learn about. So I didn't have this perception of, oh, this is good because of this, and this would be good because of this other thing. So now I think I will get some bad tales for life too.
Yeah, that'll be in the quiver for life. That's yeah, that's epic to hear. And what size boards are you riding? And do you prefer a PP board, or do you like 3D cord, or like something of a blend? Like, what's the go-to for Luna Hardman?
Yeah, I'm riding PP, and is now I'm with 47.5 on the
Okay,
bat
yep.
tail.
And how tall are you? How tall are you?
I'm 161.
Sweet. So a 42.75 board's a pretty large board for your size.
No, not 42.
40.75.
Yes.
Sweet. When you said 42.75, I'm like, whoa. Like I was riding a big board. Like I'm 80, 82, 83 kilos, should be 80, but I've probably got 2 or 3 kilos of fat on me at the moment. Having a second kid and just being lazy and drinking beer. But, like, I'm 183 centimetres, so I'm just 6 foot, and 43 seems pretty, slightly in the larger size, but, like, I'm really into it. I don't think I'll go much more than, like, a 42.5 or 42.75. So, yeah, to have to hear you say 42.75 off the bat, I was just, wow, you are going to.
No, 40. And my biggest one, it's 41 that I write those last times. And I'm enjoying too because, yeah, it's nice sometimes to have some different of the size of the board to see how it's going.
Yeah, it is really good to mix up. And I think I made the mistake of riding a small board for too long into my, like, kind of mid to late 20s. So I feel like, yeah, adjusting to different sizes as you grow into your career or grow into the love of the sport and your passion, your skill set, and also just with your size and your weight, there's always little adjustments you can make. But what
–
and this is, like, the million-dollar question I'm sure a lot of people have got on their lips. What – color combination is Luna Hardman repping in 2024?
Blue, and now it's blue and green, but the one that I most like it was a white one with two lines in blue and blue in the bottom also. So
yeah, wow, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think into the last of year, I will have a lot of colors, a lot of combinations different.
Is there a dead set favorite that you've got locked in that, like, you've had on and off since a child, like, you know, just thinking they're the greatest colors?
No. Actually, I didn't ask for the colors. I just receive and like them all.
That's cool. That's nice. It's nice just to have a surprise come your way, hey, instead of having
It was super exciting because the box arrived and I was like, oh my god, what would be? And then I unboxing and was a really good surprise.
Yeah, that is a great surprise. That's cool. It's like Christmas all over again.
Yes.
What's your goals moving forward, Luna? Like, you've obviously achieved so much at such a young age of 18. Like, what goals have you set for yourself into your 20s or into your later career, if you have any at all? But is there a pathway or a game plan that you're trying to let play out over the next coming years?
I think my biggest goal, it's like, enjoy the ride and be the greatest as I can. Like, I don't wanna. I actually fight for the woman title this year in Maldives. If I won Maldives Pro, I could fight to a really strong position in this year in the Sintra. But I was like, I don't think if I deserve this now. Junior world title, it's okay. It's a really amazing title, but it's not their one, you know? Everybody wants to be world champion, and I want to be too in pro division, but I don't feel I'm ready for it. I think I need to improve a lot of my skills and be really technical and perfect to be this list of the best in the world. So I think my biggest goal is improve my surfing, my abilities to one day be the world champion that I want to be. Like, I want to look to me in the future and say, like, yeah, you're doing really good, so you deserve it, you know? I think this is my biggest goal.
What do you feel are your weakest points, your weakest attributes that you need to work on in your technical game? You know, your forwards, your reverses, your rolls. Like, what's something that really stands out to you and you see other athletes do that you really want to nail down and work on?
I really want to have the flow and the stylish, like, of the boys, of some boys in the tour. Like, really, like, PLC. He looks like he don't weigh nothing in the wave. He had a perfect flow and a really beautiful and plastic movements. So I want to achieve this. To people see me riding and say, like, oh, this is so easy, you know? Not, and I think this is maybe my weakness point, but I'm working for it to do the best that I can do.
For sure, man. I think you raising the point about PLC is so on point, because watching him in Sintra, how he won that comp, and I know it's one of his home breaks now, being relocated in Portugal for a very long time, but man, the way he was gliding around on that Moro boogie and just making the link ups from, you know, the larger waves, set waves out the back, all the way through the dead spot there and into the shorey, and how the just forwards, reverses, backflips, rolls, yeah. You name it, he had everything on tap, and he really looked like he was at the top of his game in regards to flow state. There just was nothing that he couldn't pull off. So, yeah, he's a great example, man. He'd be one of my favorite bodybuilders to watch of all time, I think.
Yeah, he's mine, I think, too. And, like, no one in that comp could have beat him. He was so connecting with the wave and so, like, smoothing and all the hits. It was amazing to see it.
Did you watch that in person?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. There. That would have been really cool to be down there. It's a really cool atmosphere, especially. And looking at the waves too, that comp actually had some pretty fun waves. I mean, Sintra can be a bit hit and miss, but that looked fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. I surfed it. I passed the last... No, I passed before the Sintra started. I passed 1 week there training for the comp and all. And I take really good waves. Sintra is the spot. It's a tricky spot because you never know if it will be big or small. And with the change of the tide, the wave changes a lot. But it's a really fun spot. In my heat, I lost in the Rufus Karsh in this comp. Was really tricky waves with the high tide. Was almost no lip, and we need to readapt to the condition. But then in the other day that I lost this heat, and in the other day was like pumping conditions with windy glass and like perfect waves, barrels, but it's okay.
This is what a competition could throw up, eh? It's just the homerad of conditions.
Yeah.
Insane, man, insane. So, you know, like we were just talking about goals before, and we're just talking about, you know, your huge career ahead of you again. You're only 18, so this is, you know, the baby footsteps, so to speak. You know, and thinking about female bodyboarding in general, and this is always a question that comes up, especially here in Australia, because we're trying to get some more interest within the sport in general, but and also on the female side of things. Like, what would you say to any possible participants or competitors out there, especially female, that are looking into the sport of bodyboarding? Like, what would you say to them to get them to join up and to demonstrate to them it's a good sport?
I think I would say, like, just to enjoy. Because if you are a person who likes to be on the beach, who like be in connected with the nature, bodyboarding is like the perfect sport ever, because you don't need to have the pressure to, oh, I need to stand up, or that some sports have. You just need to be there and ride a wave and feel the wind in your face. So it's really enjoy. It's really fun. And in the other point, you have to enjoy it to be in the World Championship Tour, because you start in, like, with your happiness, you start doing because you like, and then you will like more, and then you will want to improve, and you will see how fun it is to achieve your goals, and yeah, just determine it and do what you like the most. I think I would say that because it's what I actually say to me. But I enjoy even my raining training days, because I know if I'm doing this, I will could travel for where I'm traveling this year, and I will could know places and people really nice. So always worth it. So take the time, and one time you'll be ready.
Does your home bodyboarding club, club comp and club itself have a lot of female applicants and a lot of female members, and do you guys get large numbers to your local comps over home?
Not that much. In my hometown, I have, I think, maybe 5 girls for the new generation, and the old generation have more girls, have a lot actually, but I think it's getting better each year. The Brazilian tour, it's having more girls, so it's really nice to see the sport growing like this.
Perfect. And with the IBC and the World Tour currently, is there anything you'd change on there in regards to locations or rules or the way the format is set up currently to better the sport, especially in a female sense? Is there any feedback or any changes you'd make to the tour?
No, I don't think so. I think this year was really nice. We had a lot of good waves and good spots to bodyboarding, and a lot of different kind of waves. And I think is this what the World Tour needs, to be who is the best in every condition, you know? So yeah, I would put a pipeline in the list, but let's see if one day this spot back to the tour, because it's a really dreamy spot.
Do you ever make comparisons from the WSL to the IBC and how the females are competing in that side of water sports compared to this side of water sports in bodyboarding? Do you ever look at that and think to yourself that you'd love to have similar waves as the men do in world surfing as the females that would translate over to bodyboarding?
Yeah, for sure. I would like to ride all the perfect waves like Tahiti and Clown Break this year. But I think we're in a good way to back in a strong circuit and a strong tour. And all takes time for sure. WSL it's in another level, but yeah, the bodyboarders do this for their patient, so we are happy, and I think this is what worth. At least I'm happy with this, so it's okay.
Is there been any moments in your life, Luna, where you thought you'd give away the sport?
No. I think I'm too young to think about it.
You're still frothing too much. It's never crossed your mind to put
No,
down the
never.
pins in the board. You've ever had like a moment where you've been so disheartened or anything like that?
No.
Cool. That's really good to hear. That's a positive.
Yes, it's a positive mindset.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, man, I want to wish you a positive mindset for the rest of the year and throughout your career. Luna, you've got such promise, and you've already delivered with two junior world titles. I can't wait to see you take out a female world title in the professional ranks. I hope to see you versing and beating your mother, Neymara, again very shortly, because that will be a juicy watch from a spectator's point of view. Thank you so much for coming on the lounge. Thank you for giving me your time and answering my sometimes bland and ridiculous questions. And yeah, it's been a hoot, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was super nice to talk with you. And yes.
Like you.
You.
It's such a funny language, hey, you find in bodyboarding, surfing all around the world. There's so many of these weird little sayings and concepts that get thrown around, and like the shakas, for example. If you throw that to anyone out there in the surfing and bodyboarding world, doesn't matter where you are in the world, it's going to be accepted. And you is pretty much the
Yes, you
same.
for sure.
I love it, man. Well, enjoy Gran Canaria. I hope you get some more at Fronton. And yeah, I'll see you on a TV screen very, very soon.
Yes.
Cheers,
Thank
man. Keep
you.
well.
Cheers. Have a good day.
It was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV.